Hello and welcome to Resource Report, where we share with you important information about local nonprofits and resource organizations that support the community we share, produced by Pathways to Agency. I am your host, Rainmaker. I had a remote interview with Mark Lee Morrison, who is involved in a few productions that we're going to discuss today. These include Low Profile, Mark Lee's podcast, which you can catch right here on Chaos, and the Olympia Music History Project, as well as the outdoor concert formerly known as Schirler Sundays. Here's Mark Lee. I am here with Mark Lee Morrison, and he's involved in quite a few different things that we're going to talk about today, but he has been working with Low Profile the longest. Hi, Mark Lee, how are you doing?
Doing good. Getting over a bug, but on the up and up.
Awesome. I'm so glad that you can be here today. So let's find out about Low Profile. Tell me about that.
So, I guess Low Profile started when I had been sort of out of the live music touring game, which is why I moved to Olympia in 2006. I moved here to join the band Lake. Some of my old friends from the LA area had moved up here and started this band called Lake with some Washington folks. And I was looking for a reason to get out of the Mojave Desert where I grew up. And they said, come up to Olympia, check it out. Maybe you should join our band and hang. And I did. And I think by the time I was here, I was in like six or seven bands within a month.
Oh my gosh.
Just like house shows every night. And I think, gosh, 4 or 5 months into living here, I was on my first tour. Continued touring extensively for like 10 years. And then in that time, I got married and we started having kids. By the time we had our second kid, I was like, well, I don't think I'm going to be going on tour for any time in the near future. And so I kind of stopped performing with Lake. The project had kind of split out between different cities at that point. And I wanted to be involved in music still in some way. And it kind of stems from all I could ever talk about and think about was music. And I think I was getting on my wife's nerves by only ever talking about the music that was interesting me. I'm like, well, there's people out there who want to hear about this stuff. And so I started doing research on this pedal steel guitar player named Pete Drake, who is a Nashville session musician and producer who died in the 80s. And I started reaching out to people who had worked with him. I reached out to his widow. I reached out to his son. And I taped these very off-the-cuff interviews with them and worked for months, stringing it all into an hour-plus podcast episode. And I was really enjoying doing that work, wanted to get better at it. So I released my first episode, started kind of finding the format, figuring out what exactly the show was. And about a year into it, I had talked to a lot of my favorite musicians that were kind of up on a pedestal to me at this point, and gotten to know them and really know their backstory, like kind of more obscure artists who not many people are writing about them, not much is known. And so I was able to get info from the source, and I'm like, okay, so this is an oral history project. And that was in 2018 when I started working on that. In 2020, I enrolled at the Evergreen State College and started working with different professors on an independent contract that was primarily working on Low Profile and getting better at my craft. As far as technical production skills, interviewing skills, research, all that. and I was there for a little over 2 years, graduated, and since then I've been expanding what I've learned there into working in other adjacent fields having to do with music history, organizing concerts, and just kind of bringing awareness to music that, and as far as I can tell, isn't getting the exposure that I think it deserves. So I've been doing low profile for over 6 years, and it is slowing down now because I'm so busy with all these other projects that are somewhat similar and maybe a little bit connected.
Okay. Wow. It kind of sounds like you were doing kind of what I'm doing right before I started doing it. I also, I started at Evergreen in 2018, and by 2019, I was learning how to be a DJ at Chaos myself and had an ILC. It's like, what would be similar things? You're like doing the resource report of the music world.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So the Olympia Music History Project, you kind of sounded like you were talking about that for a second there. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that came up a little over 2 years ago, I guess. 2023 is when we started getting out. So let me rewind a little bit. The Olympia Heritage Commission put out a call to invite applicants to take on the task of collecting oral history about the Olympia music scene in the 80s and 90s. Then Elaine Vradenberg from Window Seat Media and Kelsey Smith, who runs Community Print and various other nonprofits in the area, they teamed up. They put together a team of interviewers. I was on that team, no doubt having something to do with my work with Low Profile. So I was keen on recording some interviews, doing some research beforehand with people who were active in the Olympia music scene during that time frame. We stretched the time frame out to 2002 because between 2000 and 2002, that's when we had some big milestone events happen here before my time, but the Transfused rock opera that happened at the Capitol Theater, and Yo-Yo Agogo was still going. That was a festival here in Olympia, and then Homo Agogo, which was sort of a spin-off of Yo-Yo Agogo, queer-themed, and we wanted to include those in the scope as well. So we branched out a little bit past the 20th century, and I was super excited to be a part of that team. The project sort of lost traction as far as the city goes. They just didn't really know what to do with it once we had all these interviews recorded. I had been tasked with editing a lot of the transcripts as well, and always thought that the audio should sound a little bit nicer, a little more cleaned up. But I was just like, well, I did what they asked. Then Kelsey approached me around the end of 2023, Kelsey approached me about joining her and Mariella Luz, forming it as a new nonprofit, our own, and we would continue the work we started. So that's what we did. I immediately jumped on the opportunity to be the audio editor. So I went through all 26 interviews we recorded during that first phase and made them a lot more listener friendly, you know, just getting rid of all the stumbling blocks in the conversations, filler, repetitions, the kind of stuff you might edit out right now. And and then I was also involved with like a commissioned my friend Jack Habegger, who was currently working on artist portraits for Low Profile. I was like, well, if we want our website to look nice and have it all very uniform, be great if instead of photos, we have portraits that are all very similar stylistically of each artist. So we got that going. We've been recording more interviews ever since, and we're in the midst of that right now. We're in our second phase of oral history recordings, and I'm so excited about everything that we've been doing. We have at least five events scheduled for the rest of this year in the state of Washington, mostly in Olympia.
Wow.
I don't know. It's just like kind of it feels like a small revival of sort of this classic era of Olympia music.
Wow. Yeah. We swim in similar circles. I actually had an internship with Window Seat Media myself, and that's actually how I met Kelsey. So it's like, wow. Where can people find out about those events for the Olympia Music History Project?
So at the moment, if you go to olympiamusichistory.org, you can get on our mailing list, and we send out regular emails that update whenever we have something new happening.
Sounds fabulous. Y'all had a fundraising event recently at the Brotherhood Lounge.
Yes, that was a blast.
Yeah, that I showed up towards the end, but that was a lot of fun, and I got in on the raffle. Are y'all going to have any other fundraising events coming up that you know about right now?
I don't have any specifics on more fundraising events, although we're always accepting donations. So that's something that you can find a portal to on olympiamusichistory.org. If you appreciate what we're doing and want to contribute, we will absolutely not turn that down. But the events that we have scheduled are more like panel discussions. Say let me pull up my schedule real quick. You might want to never mind me for just a moment.
Sure.
Let's see. So, coming up on April 18th, we are doing an event called That Summer Feeling, 30 Years of Yo-Yo A-Go-Go. And we'll be having a panel discussion with the founders of Yo-Yo A-Go-Go Festival. That's Pat Maley, Michelle Noel, Kento Oiwa, and Ed Varga, and Pat Castaldo. And we're going to just talk through the formation and evolution of that festival and the impact it had. It was a series of festivals. So for those of you that don't remember or weren't here, pretty impressive stuff. It was all documented on film and audio as well. And we are working with them to archive all of this material, which up to this point, only little tidbits of it here and there have been made available. But we're trying to put as much of these archives out to the public as possible.
Wow.
That's coming up on the 18th of April at Evergreen at Purse Hall, 4 o'clock, Friday, April 18th.
Right on. That sounds exciting.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be having a discussion as well at the Olympia Timberland Library downtown. That is going to be on July 28th. And that'll be at closing time. I believe it starts at 6:30, maybe 7 o'clock. But we'll be talking with people who were involved in the Transfused production. And just sort of a, should be a very nostalgic event. It'll be the 25th year anniversary.
Wow, 25 years.
Excuse me, yes.
The Bridge is a nonprofit organization that helps the youth try to understand that writing and music can be one of the many outlets used to deal with life situations. Our work is done through songwriting workshops where youth work together to write, record, produce, and perform original music that shares their stories. We have kids from all ages, from all different backgrounds, all colors, all creeds. It's a very open and accepting environment to be in. It's just so beautiful to see everybody come together and work together.
You can become a volunteer with our organization, or you can donate, which helps make our work possible.
You can visit our website at www.bridgemusicproject.org, or even find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thebridgemusicproject.
What if somebody wants to help out and volunteer with the Olympia Music History Project?
Well, I know that we're going to have more work than we're cut out for coming up here. At this present moment, I think we're pretty in the sticks with what we have going on, that we haven't figured out what the next step is as far as volunteers go. But again, that's something that we will be calling out on our mailing list when the time comes.
Okay.
I know that we're going to have like scanning flyers and other ephemera, you know, transferring things, web help. We're all pretty green as far as it goes, running a website. So we're open to any help we can get there as well.
Awesome.
And yeah. And just shooting an email. Oh yeah. One thing that's kind of a fun project for people who, grew up in the music scene here is our website has a archive of bands. You can just scroll through and we list all these different bands, what year they started, if they broke up, what year they broke up, who was in the band, brief description of what they did. And I imagine that there are a lot of fallacies or things that, you know, we may have gotten wrong there. We're trying to be on top of that as possible, but that is one thing that we have been very grateful for people stepping in and saying, actually, so-and-so wasn't really in that band. He filled in at a show one time. Or
okay.
And like, okay, we'll make a note of that. And yeah, at the initial band list was culled not from like, the original band list that we have on there was culled from people we interviewed saying things. So if somebody was talking about a band and they say so-and-so and so-and-so was in this group, they were around at this time, we saw them play at this club, you know, then we go ahead and put that in the archive. Anytime somebody said a name, we would make a little tag for it and create like a little mini page for them.
Oh, okay. Just sort of going along and jotting down information left and right that you're given, but you definitely need some fact checkers.
Definitely.
Cool.
And we're trying to be very transparent about that.
Right on. Right on. With so much like that going on these days, it's like just owning up to that. Like, hey, like we realize that some of this information is wrong. Come help us out. You know, that takes some of the heat off.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Anything else that you want to talk about with Olympia Music History Project before we move on?
Well, let's see. I don't have all the specifics, but we are doing a second event at the Washington State History Museum. That's coming up in November.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And at present, we have not settled on a theme for that evening. So that's going to be a surprise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Might even be a surprise to you guys.
Could be. Could be.
All right.
But yeah, that's okay. The nonprofit, my first nonprofit gig, and I just feel so incredibly blessed to be a part of it. It's just right up my alley, and nothing like doing work that is just tremendously meaningful and interesting to me.
For sure, for sure. You gotta do what you love. Yeah, so let's move on to the Schoeller Sundays. What is that, and how did it get started? Why did it get started?
So that Schoeller Sundays definitely stems from Low Profile. It was an offshoot, and it was the concept came from the owners of Three Magnets Brewing Company, Nate and Sarah Riley, approached me saying, hey, what if you took what you do with Low Profile, but we brought it to a live audience and included concerts, and we made like a free all ages family event, like outdoors. This was in, I guess 4 years. No, yeah, it was about this time of year, like March 2022, they came up with this idea, and I said, I love this idea, and they're like, okay, well, we better get on it, because it takes time to plan one of these. And so what we decided the format would be is that we would have an afternoon of music, starts at 3 o'clock, bands come either on tour or local bands. And after every performance, I'll sit on stage with them and interview them. So the audience gets to, you know, I get to pick their brain, and the audience gets that sort of intimate connection to the artist, as well as getting a feel for their sound. And I feel like it's just a really cool way to bridge the gap between the stage and the seating, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I don't know that I've ever heard of anything being done like that exactly. That's really revolutionary.
Yeah, and we record it all professionally, so we get video, multi-camera video, and soundboard recordings, and I've been repurposing not all, but a lot of them for Low Profile episodes that air later after the fact. And it's grown. We're currently on our fourth year of doing it. That first year I was really, it just came together so nicely. And we booked about 25 to 30 different artists with just a few months lead-in time, and managed to bring people out every week, and the audience just kept growing, and people like really caught on. And now we're 4 years in. I've already got the schedule completely booked. It's every Sunday in July and August at 3 o'clock, and we will be doing it as a nonprofit for the first time. We started a new nonprofit called Free Music Olympia. And the purpose of it is just what it sounds like. Accessible, all ages, free concerts for that anyone can attend. We're just trying to tear down all the barriers. And everyone's welcome. And it's a unique experience.
That's awesome. It kind of reminds me of the Shakespeare in the Park kind of, you know, like everybody coming together and experiencing some sort of performance outside for free, all ages, family, just come as you are. That same kind of vibe to me. And then you get the added experience of, you know, watching a live interview off the cuff of these musicians.
Yeah, definitely. And I will say, with the amount of performers we have, I'm not doing intensive research on every artist the way I do with Low Profile. I'm doing enough research to talk to them for, you know, about 10 minutes.
Right on.
Which also keeps the show flowing as well.
Sure.
But it's really, I think it's still, in any capacity, if that's happening, it's going to be memorable.
Definitely. Where are they located? Where is the show located on Sundays?
So it's on a little grassy knoll on the backside of the now defunct Carnegie Library building. That's on Franklin and 7th Avenue downtown.
Oh, wow. That's right here.
Right here. And it's in the parking lot. Same parking lot as Three Magnets. So there's a brewery right there. You can get your beverages there. There's food trucks, vendors, ice cream, games in the alley. It's really, you can really spend all afternoon there, and it's cozy and it's warm and welcoming.
What would you recommend people, how do people prepare to come hang out and spend time and enjoy the Shirler Sunday show? Do we need to bring chairs, folding chairs? Do we need to bring cooler, umbrellas? Is there food available? Like what's the whole deal?
Yeah, there's a couple food trucks on site. There's beverages. You can definitely bring lawn chairs. That's encouraged because seating is pretty limited. I think they have maybe like a dozen or so picnic tables, but those fill up pretty early on. And, you know, when it gets to be like a more lively performance, if it's like a rock and roll band, you know, there's not, it's mostly standing room at that point. But you can spread out and sit on the outskirts, or, you know, some people like to just lean up on the grassy knoll right next to the band and take it in that way. But yeah, mostly just come prepared to have a good time. You can bring a sack lunch if you don't want to, if you're, you know, short on funds, no problem. You don't have to buy anything to be here. There are, you know, the artists who are performing generally bring merchandise to help support their travels. So that's always encouraged. But we just want everyone to feel welcome and not obligated to do anything but enjoy themselves.
That's awesome. How can people get involved in that?
Well, so the website for this is freemusicolympia.org. And from there, you can contact us. And if you're interested in volunteering at the events in any capacity, I'm sure we can put you to good use. There's It's a lot of me running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to keep everything organized, because I'm the host, the curator, the stage manager, the set builder, the marketing guy. I'm doing a lot of the heavy lifting. So any skills that you can bring, I'm definitely open to working with you. Hanging flyers in advance of the show, for instance, that's a very helpful thing. I imagine we're going to need a lackey, a gopher, to run around, maybe go grab some pizza for the performers, or help tidy up at the end of the show. There's endless opportunities to volunteer.
how it's become a nonprofit. Did it start out as a nonprofit, or tell me about that a little bit more?
No, it started out where I would be on the clock for Three Magnets Brewing, because they would foot the bill for the performance fees and everything, just in hopes that they would break even with pushing out their beer and whatnot. And it's, the sort of thing where it was very ambitious and very hard to stay in the black doing something like that. And now they are just basically, they're a in-kind sponsor donating the use of the space they rent and their equipment and some staffing to help get things all set up every week, set up and torn down. That's all done as in-kind donation now. And we decided that forming a nonprofit would be the most surefire way to be able to keep this a free event, but also be able to compensate the musicians fairly. Which I will admit, before this year, I wouldn't say we compensated any of the musicians fairly, because we just didn't have a budget for that.
Sure.
It was very much a thing of love if anybody agreed to play this thing for what we were offering.
Got it.
So we're in the position of now more people are open to say yes.
Okay.
Which is tremendous, because before we had some incredible, incredible musicians come and play for peanuts just because they thought it was a cool thing we were doing.
It's still the case. Yeah.
And, I just wanted to mention there, so there is a tie-in too. They're connecting it all on August 3rd at Schirler Sundays. That's the first Sunday in August. That day is going to go into the night. Usually these things wrap up by dinner time, but this one's probably going to go till 8 or 9, and it's the Olympia Music History Showcase. So it's all bands and performers who were active in the Olympia music scene from the 80s into the 90s, many of which do not play regularly or have not played shows in forever. And we have a whole afternoon into the evening of bands from this era, and that is coinciding and co-curated with Olympia Music History Project. And so this is two nonprofits that I am the common denominator in, working together. And we are looking forward to collaborating with more local nonprofits as well, and similar things. But that's going to be a really exciting thing for a lot of people, especially who are enthusiasts of the local scene. We've got Pet Products, who were Olympia's first punk band. Their 1981 album just got issued on vinyl by Kill Rock Stars, and so they're going to perform. The Noses were a band active here from like the mid-80s to mid-90s, and their singer, guitar player, went on to form the band C Average, John Merrithew. So the Noses are playing. Some Velvet Sidewalk, early K Records band, started back in the 80s. They're going to be here. And Transfused Community Sing-Along, celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Transfused. And I feel like, and I'm definitely leaving out, oh yeah, Human Jukebox, which is a project of Justin McCoynt that started in the 90s and has been kind of intermittent ever since. So that's going to be a wild, nostalgic ride.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. Since Shirler Sundays has become a nonprofit group now, it seems kind of the vibe I'm picking up from just listening to you is that that's actually boosting it with its visibility and ability
I think so.
To continue.
I mean, there's also like the difference between donors and sponsors, and people are, I feel like, a lot more open to doing a tax deductible donation than just like, here, I'm going to give you X amount of cash for getting my logo on an Instagram ad or something, you know, like, it's got a little more lasting power, I think, and, more credibility. And we've seen a lot of, gosh, I think there's something like 20 different local businesses and organizations that are chipping in to make this thing happen.
Oh, wow, that's
yeah, it's, I think,
oh, wow, that's
you know, we're switching gears into nonprofit at just the right time because we've built the credibility from the ground up.
Yeah.
And now we can, you know, say that we have an established platform and we are ready to do big things with it.
Sounds like, I don't know, they're blending together. Low profile Shirler Sundays, Olympia Music History Project. Has it crossed anybody's mind that like maybe these three things could combine into like one thing,
like a super group?
Yeah,
well, we're sort of doing that for the August 3rd event because it's curated by Olympia Music History Project. It's going to be recorded for Low Profile, and it's happening at Shirler Sundays. So there you go. I think it's the start of more things along those lines in the future, for sure.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds really cool. Just all of the different things, you know, working together.
Yeah, definitely. And I should mention that Free Music Olympia, which Shirler Sundays is operating under the banner of now, is going to keep creating events beyond Shirler Sundays. So once that ends in August, starting in September, we're going to be, the plan is that we're going to have a monthly free all ages concert for the community to come to that will be in the similar vein. I probably won't be the full like interview extravaganza kind of thing, but quality curated free concerts that anyone can go to at accessible spaces in town, because it's really nice to be able to go to see music in the winter time, for example, or when it's really wet outside, you know. So we're gonna have some indoor events happening later on in the year and moving forward, as well as outdoor events. We've done, I've been putting together free concerts at places like San Francisco Street Bakery, for instance. I've done probably about a dozen free concerts there, or free or by donation, not a flop, as they say. No one turned away for lack of funds.
Right on.
But we're looking forward to expanding and collaborating with other nonprofits. We're talking with Decay, which is a art space, a multi-use art space downtown, about hosting some of these concerts coming up in the fall and winter. And we're still working that out, but it's very promising.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you mentioned that. I was going to ask, is this going to be like a year-round kind of thing? Because that's
the plan.
Great to have something like that to go do in the cold, dark months, which we have more of those than not.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I think just that we're pushing the Shirler Sundays series into just every Saturday, July, and August. Because whenever we've done stuff in June, it's been a coin toss whether it's going to be a nice day or it's going to be a tsunami.
Sure.
I have no idea. So it's definitely a limited window when we can pull this exact thing off. And we have had a few very wet, stormy Shirler Sundays that were a little bit of a panicked fiasco. Like, you just, like, you show up and it's beautiful day, but you see off in the distance in the mountains a big black cloud, and it's getting closer and closer.
Yeah, how do you prepare for that? Do you, like, bring the big canopies and stuff, or?
And so the way we've dealt with it is we just have a bunch of tarps and plastic and stuff on hand. And if we need it, we run and grab it. And usually just it happens so quickly, I can't even tell you how many of us do it. But everybody, all hands on deck, just grabs protective covering and throws it over all the equipment. Take a break if we have to. Keep it going if we can.
Sounds fun.
Last summer we had a show in June that just the opening band played, and about 10 minutes into their first set, they looked behind themselves, they saw the cloud, and they said, well, I think that's our set. And then we wound up taking an hour and a half break because the storm was so bad.
Goodness.
And then just sunshine for the rest of the day. So very unpredictable, but yeah, tarps, gotta love tarps. You're listening to KAOS 89.3 FM Olympia, and that probably means you're a fan of eclectic music. But did you ever wonder what's the story behind these songs? Who are these people? What's their deal? That's where I come in. I'm Mark Lee Morrison, and for the past 5 years, I've hosted and produced the show Low Profile, intimate conversations with these musicians, from proto-punkers like Suicide to folk and country artists like Holy Modal Rounders and Lavender Country, Northwest artists like Generifus, funk and soul like Steve Arrington. You can hear their stories here on KAOS Fridays
at 4 p.m. Low Profile with Markley Morrison. Check it out.
Anything else you want to share?
Well, I'm very excited about, because Low Profile is also, as the listeners may know, it's on Chaos Fridays at 4 o'clock. So really proud to be a part of the Chaos family. And I just want to say that I've been listening to Chaos, regularly for, you know, since I've lived here. And there was a bit of a, there's definitely a bit of a decline following the pandemic as far as like variety and programming. There's definitely something lacking, and it's been picking up tremendously. I'm hearing new voices on the radio there. I'm hearing new shows. I'm hearing I'm hearing a whole lot of new on Chaos, and that is just really exciting to me. I just want to shout out to Chaos that y'all are doing terrific work, and I'm so, so proud to be affiliated with y'all. In fact, tying back to Shirler Sundays, I was driving around back in maybe January earlier this year, and I heard this amazing song on Chaos, and my daughters were in the car, and they're like, "What is this music?" I'm like, "I don't know." So I Shazammed it on my phone, and it turned out to be a band called Pearl and the Oysters. And I was like, this is great. And by the end of the day, I had listened to all of their recorded material and put out my feelers on the internet and was like, "Does anybody I know this band, Pearl and the Oysters? Like, is there some kind of connection?" And my bandmate Eli from Lake texted me. He's like, "Yeah, I know those guys." Put me in touch. And I booked them to play the third weekend of Shirler Sundays, and I couldn't be more thrilled. They're a French expats that live in LA, make really nice funky synth pop stuff. And I never would have been turned on to them if I hadn't been just dialed into Chaos that day. So Chaos figures into all this as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I was going to say John Hamilton, the director of Chaos, has been conducting new DJ training.
Yes.
Lately. So that would be why we have new voices on the air there.
Yeah, makes a big difference.
If you want to get on the air, go check it out.
If you really want to do it, you can do it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Chaosradio.org. That's how both of us started out, isn't it? We had DJ training.
Yeah, I had my DJ training back in 2008. I was planning to do a kind of a obscure country music show, all on vinyl, but it just, I did the training. I did a few sets on air, but at that point it was just, I didn't have wheels. I don't think the bus was free yet back then. And it was just too much of a burden for me to get out there on a regular schedule. So I trained in 2008, and then I wasn't on the air until 2020. But going way back, that is the start of it.
Yeah.
And having my show on Chaos definitely brought the sense of urgency about, like, yeah, keep creating good stuff and put it out there for people.
For sure. For sure.
It was existing only as a podcast for 2 years before that. And still does.
Low Profile?
Yeah, lowprofilepodcast.com goes all the way back to 2019.
Oh, so you were doing that as a podcast before you ran it on Chaos?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think I realized that.
Yeah. It started as a podcast, but when I was at Evergreen, I decided to make sure that I was formatting it in a way that could also work as radio. So that's when I got into bleeping things, bleeping profanities out and making sure
FCC regulations,
making sure it didn't go over 1 hour. Like, because people always say with a podcast, it's just like, it needs to be exactly long as it needs to be, no longer, no shorter. But that gave me the constraint of it needs to be exactly an hour show, maybe a few minutes shorter, definitely no longer. And I feel like that constraint has helped me put out better work, honestly.
Yeah, you get a little more concise, a little more focused. There is definitely something about having to have a certain kind time constraint for things.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I did the Anarchist Songbook and Community Heart were my two programs on Chaos in 2019 and 20 that I ran. But that's how I got started with this and led me into Resource Report, sort of like the next level of Community Heart. With that one, I was interviewing community members and sharing their story on how they were giving back to the community. So not very different, just a little different focus.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so once again, last call. Anything else you want to share?
Well, if you're out there and you're doing creative work, good on you. Please keep doing it. And if you're not doing creative work, do what you can to assist the people that are. Because that's one of the most valuable resources we have in this world is creativity. Whatever your angle is, whatever your medium, that's life to me, you know? And I'm just so grateful to be, it's pretty wild shift that I made from being, a songwriter, musician to for the past 6 years, I've been primarily focused on other people's music. And that's where my passion lies. I haven't been compelled to write a new song in half a decade, and that doesn't bother me because there's so much good stuff coming out and so much stuff that's been there that I'm still catching up on, and I'm really happy to be a champion for all that stuff.
Wow. Awesome.
So thanks to all the creatives. And I got your back, and I'm on your side.
Awesome.
And bless up Chaos. And thank you, Rainmaker.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being here with me, Mark Lee. All right.
While there have been DJ trainings over this last quarter, I checked with Johnny H., our director here at Chaos, and there are no DJ trainings this quarter so far, but if you are interested, please fill out the contact form on chaosradio.org, or feel free to swing by the station here on Evergreen Campus. As for my time speaking with Markley, it was great, and I found out we share some great connections, as well as more about some groovy free music to check out. If you would like to donate, volunteer, or look up what's happening with the Olympia Music History Project or Free Music Olympia, you can go to their websites at olympiamusichistory.org and freemusicolympia.org. Till next time, and thanks for listening. That's it for today's resource report, produced by Pathways to Agency. At Pathways to Agency, we are driven by the belief that everyone should have the tools and support to achieve their goals and thrive in their communities. Our mission is to bridge the gaps in understanding, accessibility, and trust by connecting individuals to resources and sharing information and processes that can lead to personal and community growth. Resource Report offers information about existing and emerging nonprofits and resource organizations. Find out more at pathwaystoagency.org. You can also find our shows archived indefinitely on rss.com/podcasts/resource-report. Chaos Radio is not responsible or liable for any views or opinions expressed in the interviews conducted by Resource Report. Till next time, and thanks for listening.